True, nervous, very, very dreadfully nervous I had been, and am. But why will you say that I am mad? My nervous disorder has sharpened my senses, not destroyed, not dulled them. Above all was my sense of hearing. I heard everything in heaven and earth. I heard many things in hell. How then am I mad? Listen, and you will see how calmly I can tell you the whole story. It is impossible to say how first the idea entered my brain, but once conceived, it haunted me day and night. I had no motive. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. I had no wish for his gold. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. He had the eye of a vulture, a pale blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell on me, my blood ran cold. And so, by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man and thus rid myself of the eye forever. Now, you think I am mad, but you should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight. I was never kinder to the old man than during the week before I killed him. And every night, about midnight, I turned the latch of his door and opened it, oh, so gently. And then, when I had made an opening sufficient for my head, I put in a dark lantern, all closed, so that no light shone out. And then I thrust my head in, but slowly, very, very slowly, so as not to disturb the old man's sleep. It took me an hour to place my whole head within the opening, so far that I could see him as he lay on his bed. And then, when my head was well in, I undid the lantern cautiously, oh, so cautiously, just so much that a single thin ray fell upon that vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights, every night just at midnight. But I always found the eye closed, and so it was impossible to do the work. For it was not the old man who vexed me, it was his evil eye. Upon the 8th night, I was more than usually cautious in opening the door. A watch's minute hand moved more quickly than mine did. Never before had I felt the extent of my own powers. To think that here I was, opening the door little by little, and he not even dreaming of my secret deeds or thoughts. I fairly chuckled at the idea, and perhaps he heard me, for he moved on the bed suddenly, as if startled. Now, you think I drew back, but no. His room was as black as pitch, so I knew he could not see the opening of the door, and I kept pushing it steadily, steadily. I had my head in and was about to open the lantern when my thumb slipped on the tin fastening, and the old man sprang up in bed, crying out, "Who's there?" I kept quite still and said nothing. For a whole hour, I did not move a muscle. And in the meantime, I did not hear him lie down. He was still sitting up in the bed, listening. And presently I heard a slight groan, and I knew it was a groan of mortal terror. I knew that he had been lying awake ever since the first slight noise when he had turned in bed. His fears had been growing on him. He had been trying to fancy them causeless, but he could not. Death, in approaching him, had stalked with his black shadow before him and enveloped the victim. When I had waited a long time, very patiently, without hearing him lie down, I resolved to open a little, a very, very little crevice in the lantern. So I opened it. You cannot imagine how stealthily, until at length a single dim ray, like the thread of a spider, shot out from the crevice and fell upon the vulture eye, and it was open, wide open. and I grew furious as I gazed upon it. I saw it with perfect distinctness, all a dull blue with a hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow of my bones. And now there came to my ears a low, dull, quick sound, such as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I knew that sound well. It was the beating of the old man's heart. It increased my fury as the beating of a drum stimulates the soldier into courage. But even then I refrained and I kept still. I scarcely breathed. I held the lantern motionless. And the hellish tattoo of the heart increased. It grew quicker and quicker and louder every instant. The old man's terror must have been extreme. I have told you I am nervous, and well, so I am. And now, at the dead of night, amid the dreadful silence of that old house, this strange noise excited me to uncontrollable terror. And yet for some minutes longer I refrained and stood still. But the beating grew louder and louder. I thought the heart must burst. And now a new anxiety seized me. The sound would be heard by a neighbor. The old man's hour had come. And with a loud yell, I threw open the lantern and leapt into the room. He shrieked once, only once. In an instant, I dragged him to the floor and pulled the heavy bed over him. And then I smiled gaily to find the deed so far done. But for many minutes, the heart beat on with a muffled sound. At length, it ceased. The old man was dead. I removed the bed to examine the corpse. Yes, he was dead, stone dead. His eye would trouble me no more. If you still think me mad, you will do so no longer when I describe the wise precautions I took to conceal the body. First, I dismembered the corpse, and then I took up three planks from the floor of the room and deposited the parts of the remains beneath. Then I replaced the board so cleverly that no human eye, not even his, could have detected anything wrong. It was 4 o'clock when I had finished, and still as dark as midnight. As the bell sounded the hour, there came a knocking at the street door. I went down to open it with a light heart, for what had I now to fear? 3 men entered who introduced themselves as police officers. A shriek had been heard by a neighbor during the night. Foul play was suspected. I smiled. For what had I to fear? I bade the gentleman welcome. The shriek, I said, was my own in a dream. The old man, I mentioned, was absent in the country. I took my visitors all over the house. I bade them search well. I led them at length into his chamber. I showed them his treasures, secure, undisturbed. So confident was I that I brought chairs into the room and suggested they rest here, while I myself, in the wild audacity of my perfect triumph, placed my own seat upon the very spot beneath which rested the corpse of the victim. The officers were satisfied. My manner had convinced them. I was completely at ease. But before long, I wished them gone. My head ached. I fancied a ringing in my ears. But still they sat, and still they chatted. The ringing became more distinct. It continued and became more distinct. I talked more freely to get rid of the feeling, but it continued and grew until at length I found the noise was not within my ears. No doubt I grew very pale, but I talked more fluently and louder, and yet the sound increased. What could I do? It was a low, dull, quick sound, much as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I gasped for breath. And yet the officers did not hear it. I talked more quickly, more vehemently, but the noise steadily increased. I arose and argued about trifles, but the noise steadily increased. Why would they not be gone? I paced the floor to and fro, as if excited to fury by the men's observations, but the noise steadily increased. Oh, Evan, what could I do? I foamed, and I raved, and I swore. I swung the chair upon which I was sitting and grated it upon the boards, but the noise drowned everything and continually increased. It grew louder and louder and louder. And still the men sat and chatted pleasantly and smiled. Was it possible they did not hear? No. No. No, they heard. They suspected. They knew. They were mocking my horror. This I thought, and this I think. But anything was better than this agony. I could bear the hypocritical smiles no longer. I thought I must scream or die. Villains, I cried, stop all this pretense. I admit it. Tear up the planks. Here, here. It is the beating of his hideous heart.